Shalom Aleichem, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our teacher and forever student of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom Aleichem to you as well, which simply means hello to all. And we are happy because we have the joy of our salvation permeating throughout our whole body, soul, and spirit. And we'll be in Joel 3 later, but first let's praise him for that unending joy.
Oh Lord, our God, we do praise you and thank you for the greatest gift of all, our salvation that absolutely brings us perfect joy and peace that passes all understanding. We lift up to you these recent prayer requests, and for our unsaved loved ones, we also beseech your favor upon President Trump as he wades in the darkness, as confirmed with his conviction. And Abba Father, send your warring angels to fight alongside Israel as they continue in combat against their enemies. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are definitely living in an upside-down world.
You think? And if President Biden keeps pushing Israel and threatening them, I might add, to withhold weapons and money unless they stop their war against Hamas, Genesis 12:3 will come true to America.
Actually has already began.
No, you know, you're right. Just look at the 100% increase in tornadoes, and the hurricane season is about to kick off and already expected to be huge. And they're predicting extreme heat that will threaten our grid, especially down south. We don't have to speak on it because everyone knows Biden with his cronies are really destroying our country, which is what the globalists want to push through their New World Order.
Yes, the Great Reset.
A global world is prophesied, and as we have already repeatedly said, for the world order to thrive, all nationalism must go, starting with America. And since many of us factually believe we are in the final days, Trump won't get back in. I know this is a bittersweet scroll like John when he eats that in Revelation 10. But ask yourselves,
what is God's will?
Right. Because he does have the final say. Or better yet, ask yourself, do you want to see Jesus or do you want Trump back in the White House? I'll admit maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt that you can have both.
Right. Because Trump is a definite nationalist.
So if you answer you'd rather see Jesus, then scripture says evil has to get worse. And it will surely do that if Biden gets back in.
Which is why we will vote for Trump.
Yep. We're definitely not voting for evil.
And remember Jeremiah 30.
Yes, verse 11. God says he will make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you.
Notice, God says, I have scattered you.
Yep. That is a powerful scripture. Mm-hmm. Because for the last 100 years or so, Jews have scattered to America more than any other nation. And now with the rise in anti-Semitism, many Jews are making serious plans for Aliyah.
Which fulfills the prophecy in Jeremiah 16.
That's right. And he goes on to say in verse 11 of Jeremiah 30, he will not let Israel go unpunished, but will correct them in justice. And he has, and will again, in Jacob's trouble.
But he also saves them.
Yes. As a whole, according to Ezekiel 38, verse 23 and 39, verse 22, when they recognize their true Messiah in the war of Gog and Magog, when Israel stands alone, God steps in.
That war, I believe, is during the tribulation.
It is. And by the way, Israel as a whole has many flaws. They accept abortion, and Tel Aviv, their major city, is like number one in the world for homosexuality, with many pride parades, even in Jerusalem.
You know, and sadly, many of the Jews are atheists.
Hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But only 13% are ultra-Orthodox, meaning really practicing weekly Judaism. 53% are either secular or secular holding to a little tradition, and about 10% are very liberal. So a major correction is still coming, which again is why the biblical name is Jacob's Trouble.
Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel in Genesis 32.
Yes. So last week, President Biden presented his three-point plan for Gaza, saying that Israel agreed with it, which, by the way, is not entirely true. Netanyahu said Biden left out a few important things.
Yeah, the highlight in phase one is an immediate 6 weeks ceasefire,
which everyone knows really means to become a permanent ceasefire as long as negotiations continue, which is why Biden is also calling for an immediate withdrawal of all Israeli troops.
So, not just stop fighting, but get out of Gaza totally.
Right, which even after the war, Israel's security forces will have to be there to observe. And in his plan is a return of some hostages to start.
Yeah, in exchange for 100% of Palestinian prisoners.
No, hundreds.
Oh, hundreds.
And, of course, international help to reconstruct Gaza. But Hamas, under this plan, will still be in Gaza because Israel wasn't allowed to finish the job. Netanyahu will not agree to any deal that hinders that accomplishment. Anyway, Netanyahu has accepted Congress's invitation to come and speak.
But we don't know when.
Right. Meanwhile, Hezbollah continues with their missile attacks, causing some injuries, but Israel's defense system catches most of them. Israel also continues to retaliate with pretty good success by hitting many targets in Lebanon, as well as targeting areas in Syria to prevent weapon transfers into Lebanon.
And, of course, Israel continues to fight in Rafah.
And also, again, in the northern area of Gaza, because Hamas just moved back up there when Israel began invading Rafah in the south. And here's some bad news. There are Hamas fighters being allowed to set up camp in Turkey, who is a NATO country, in name only, of course. But that means Israel can't go after them there. We can see the characters coming alive for Ezekiel 38, which, of course, means
we're leaving soon.
And next year is sure looking good. Also, there is a continuing uproar over the fact that the ultra-Orthodox Haredi Jews, those who solely study Torah, might still get an exemption from serving in the war. And even Israeli doctors have threatened to leave the country, stating that the burden placed on the rest of society is starting to do irreparable damage.
The government is only asking for 3,000 recruits.
Right. Out of 63,000 ultra-Orthodox.
And they are fighting for the country on three fronts.
Right. However, and here is the big problem. If they do draft them, they take the chance of the party with their seven seats leaving the coalition, pushing quickly to new elections. Netanyahu can have that at this stage. Also, the older rabbis are fearful the draftees might become more secular when removed from their calling.
You know, that's a good point.
However, some of the young men are volunteering to enter, feeling it is unfair, especially when Israel really needs them right now.
But getting back to Trump and his unfair conviction.
Oh, okay.
Some say the Supreme Court should get involved.
No one knows. They might, but again, we're in uncharted waters. But you can be sure that the deep underground globalists have a few tricks up their sleeve.
Without a doubt.
For instance, if on July 11th he's sentenced to jail or even house arrest, the progressives are hoping for another insurrection or even a revolution, even a civil war, augmented again by their own planted false flag actors.
Or the deep state could provoke Russia into a war on American soil.
You know, that might seem over the top if we didn't just hear that Biden has given Ukraine permission to use our weapons in Russian territory,
You know, that's serious.
Therefore, Putin himself is now saying that we are provoking a world war. A government emergency would definitely suspend elections.
As Zelensky has done in Ukraine.
Yeah, he has. Or there is always the chance they would just take Trump out, which has been done four times before.
Plus, two others were shot but lived.
But the New World Order is on the horizon, that's for sure. And once we are removed, it will happen immediately. And today, with our own eyes, we can see just how quickly that can be implemented.
All right. You can contact us by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are greatly appreciated and will add you to our mailing list for newsy updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure.
I forgot to mention that Mexico just had its election for president, and they chose a Jewish woman who will take over in October. And more on that later, but one wonders what Obrador will do in his final months to affect his legacy. And we'll talk about Fauci's hearing in Congress next week as well.
Oh, yeah, and Hunter, too.
And maybe on the border as well. But right now, we really must move on if we are going to discuss Jerusalem.
Sounds timely.
Okay, so we know Biden is calling for a two-state solution in Israel, which means dividing not just the land of Israel, but Jerusalem, too. This is the major sign that we're soon out of here. But let's read Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem.
Okay, we can see he's talking about the last days. Better put, the last generation that began when he brings home all the Israeli tribes from the diaspora, which heavily began in 1948 when they became an official legal Jewish nation. This is when the fig tree's leaves started growing again, Matthew 24:32, and is specific by saying the generation that sees the leaves will be the generation to see all these things he had just described. In other words, would see his return. Psalm 90 says an average age in the last days is between 70 and 80 years. Israel has just celebrated its 75th year. That says to me that Israel will get saved by its 80th year, or 2029.
Well, that so fits the timeline.
Then in 1967, when they regained Jerusalem, the fig tree began to blossom, and soon Israel was exporting flowers and fruit. Please continue, verse 2.
I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
Today, that's called the Kidron Valley on the eastern side of Jerusalem.
And I will enter into judgment with them there.
Revelation's final war is not in Armageddon. It's in Jerusalem against Yeshua. The Armageddon war is between the Antichrist and the kings of the east when the Euphrates dries up, Revelation 16. Where the Antichrist, described as the dragon with his unclean spirits, win and returns to Jerusalem, which is about 60 miles to the south. Then Joel finishes verse 2 by telling us the major reason God is judging the nations.
On account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they had scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land.
That's God's particular crown jewel of ownership, never to be given away. Always God's decision who would be his custodians.
The descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yes. Tonight, let's do a little history, a summary of Jerusalem that dates back all the way to the 4th millennium B.C. And if you think that Jerusalem was once the Garden of Eden, you are right.
And confirmed in the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Therefore, it is the oldest city in the world, the holiest city in Judaism, down through the ages, magnified by King David in 1000 B.C., and of course, to Christianity, especially since our Jewish Jesus walked in it. Anyhow, back in 586 B.C., because of Israel's disobedience, God allowed the Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, to lay siege to Jerusalem. But 70 years later, a new king conquered Babylon.
Cyrus of Persia.
Who in 516 B.C., permitted the Jews to go back to rebuild Jerusalem and erect a new temple because Cyrus saw his name written in the ancient writings of Isaiah that he would do that and that God held his right hand.
Isaiah 44 verse 28 and 45 verse 1.
Then 180 years later,
332 B.C.,
Israel was conquered by Alexander the Great, and after his death, only 9 years later, the entire empire was split among the four generals, with Antiochus Epiphanes controlling Jerusalem in the intertestament period. And we all know the story of the Maccabees, Hanukkah, and Antiochus's overthrow in 168 B.C. by the Maccabees, who then reestablished Jerusalem as its capital around 153 B.C.
But then along came Rome.
Yeah. Rome took over Jerusalem and installed Herod the Great, who had already been coerced by Rome to become a Hellenized converted Jew so that he could be their king and they would better accept him.
Herod devoted himself to developing and beautifying the city.
And he doubled the area of the Temple Mount. Herod's descendants remained client kings of Jerusalem through Agrippa II until 96 A.D.
The Romans crucified Jesus in 32 A.D. and then burned down the temple in 70 A.D.
Then by 117 A.D., Emperor Hadrian totally Romanized the city, naming it Alia Capitolina,
and banned the Jews from entering it.
Then later on, this Roman renamed the entire Judean province Palestina after the biblical Philistines in an attempt to totally de-Judaize the country, which continued until the 4th century A.D. And actually, until the 7th century, Jerusalem repeatedly changed hands between the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, and the Sassanid Empire, and then Islam in 638 A.D., when the Islam Caliphate extended its dominion to Jerusalem, making Jerusalem Islam's third holiest city after Mecca and Medina. They did allow the Jews back into Jerusalem, but they were soon persecuted, as well as many Christians, until the Crusades came in 1096 A.D., by Pope Urban II, who also wanted to control Jerusalem.
And the Vatican still does.
During the Crusades, many Muslims, but also many Jews, were slaughtered, which is why it is still difficult to witness to Jews who know their history that the Crusaders were the Vatican's army.
So Christianity became a bad name in their eyes.
Today, most know the difference between a little C Christian and a big C Christian, meaning, of course, a true, born-again, fundamental Bible believer.
Amen to that.
Anyhow, the Crusaders took Jerusalem for a short time with back-and-forth battles,
which continued until 1250 A.D.
Yes, that's when the Mamluks, I think I pronounced that right, conquered Jerusalem, lasting until 1517 when the Ottoman Turks conquered it and remained for 400 years.
till 1917 when conquered by the British.
Jerusalem was then considered a no man's land for about 30 years until 1947, when as a result from the Holocaust, Britain gave the land to Israel, but did a quick partition, which did not include Jerusalem. But right away in 1948, the Jews had to defend their newly returned land when attacked by Egypt in the south, Jordan on the east, and Syria from its north.
But God was the victor.
And Israel was officially declared a self-ruling state.
But still without their capital, Jerusalem.
Right. So Tel Aviv became the capital. Then in 1967, they were attacked again, and this time they actually, God won back Jerusalem, Gaza, and the Golan Heights.
Another miracle.
Still, there was conflict in Jerusalem, so Israel allowed Jordan to be the overseer, where the Jews would pray on the Temple Mount, but not officially make it their capital.
Yeah, their embassy stayed in Tel Aviv.
That is until President Trump moved it to West Jerusalem, although East Jerusalem is where the Temple Mount is, but still, it is Jerusalem and not Tel Aviv way up in the north. And things were looking good for Israel with the Abraham Accords, and they were trading quite a bit, even with Arab countries.
And along came a spider named Biden.
Yeah. And the Jerusalem story continues. So we gave you all that history to open your eyes as to what Joel 3 is really saying, in that the final judgment will come when they divide his land, God's land, Jerusalem, and that'll be in the last days. You know, since 1967, Israel has sovereignty over Jerusalem. What Joel is implying is that Israel will turn over their God-given sovereignty in East Jerusalem, where Abraham was tested with Isaac, where Solomon's temple stood, and where Jesus died and was buried and rose again. We know Israel will be allowed to build their temple, but will not own it or control it, and eventually the Antichrist will.
And according to Daniel's statute, he will come from Rome.
So this division will happen, and the covenant with death will be signed, kicking off the tribulation. Watch for the next pope, and he'll be in cooperation with the UN to oversee the Temple Mount. And as part of the deal, Israel will build its third temple. And we know that from Daniel, and we also know it from Revelation 11. And by the beginning of the second half of Jacob's tribulation, the Antichrist will sit in the Holy of Holies, and he'll declare himself God, and he will demand all worship. But here's the good news. First, his bride will be taken out of the way, for we are not destined for the wrath of God. That's Jacob's trouble, not the bride's trouble. Okay, time is gone, and I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. That's number 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you, and he'll be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu. Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, they're going to prosper in a lot of different ways. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, shalom and God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.